interview is with Dr. Attilia Muller, Professor of Home Economics, Texas A&I University.
Okay, now, what do I remember about the school? Well, it's, the place that you went to school is always a little difficult to forget. And when I started school, I started school at Commerce, Texas, in the kindergarten, which was a part of East Texas State Teachers College. And I remember the first and second and third day, they gave us an eye test, and they made us jump up and down, and a few other things, and I didn't pass the eye test. I couldn't see very well, so I had to put on glasses. And after the kindergarten, I remember all of the first, second, and third, and so on, up through high school. And in Commerce, since East Texas State Teachers College, the kindergarten was attached to what they call the training school, which was where the college students went to learn to teach. Like when you go out to do student teaching, they went to the training school to learn to do the, to do teaching. So when from the time, I don't remember any student teachers being in the kindergarten, there probably were, but I don't remember that. But after getting to the third grade and the fourth grade, I can remember multiple student teachers. And as a student, we got real skill how to torment, how to distract, how to drive a poor student teacher to crazy. And it didn't take us very long. We learned very quickly the ones that we could push over the hill and the ones that we couldn't get to first base with. And I had student teachers from the time I was in first grade up through, from the time until I graduated from high school. And then since I graduated from college, high school in 1933. And if you remember, which you don't, the Depression started in 1929. And let me see, that would have put me about a freshman in high school or a sophomore in high school when the Depression came on. And of course, when the Depression got started, why, you counted your nickels and you watched your pennies. And you didn't buy a bar of candy unless you had a nickel to pay for it. And we never had the nickel. So by the time I got to college, or got to the age to go to college, I went across the street and went to East Texas State Teachers College because that's as far as I could get on account of finances. When I was in the sixth grade or the seventh grade, my parents discussed which college I'd go to, whether I'd go to University of Texas or Texas Women's University or what school, but when it got time to go in this school, I went right across the street because that was the most money we could scratch up to go to school with. And I remember college quite well. But I thought that since I had thought that I would go to some other university or some other college, I never thought that East Texas was a very good school. But since I in the several years that have passed since I graduated from college, and since having gone to some other colleges, I now have a great deal more respect for East Texas State Teachers College than I did when I was a student there, because every teacher that I had was not a good teacher, but many of them were good teachers.
Do you have any real, you know, one real good outstanding teacher that you could never forget, you know, because of you know, either he was a very interesting teacher or whatever?
Yes, I had two or three. I had one was an English teacher who was an old maid for 60 years of her life, and then she married. And she was really quite an outstanding person. She, her classes were, well, they were, you couldn't keep from contributing as a student. And they were interesting, and you didn't forget what you learned. And then I had the chemistry teacher that I had in college was We understood that he had one of the highest ratings as a teacher of anyone in Texas. And, I mean, that was his reputation on the campus. And since I was taking home economics and I had to take chemistry, I wanted to pass. I wanted to make a good grade. And he wouldn't let a girl come into any class, whether it was the lab or a class, without stockings up. And since it was during the Depression and I didn't have any stockings, I had a difficult time keeping a pair of stockings.
Yeah, well, now, as far as going to school is concerned, did everybody just walk to school? Was there any automobiles or?
Well, a few students commuted in cars from Greenville or from Cooper or from other towns, but very few. I walked to school because I lived within 3 blocks of the school, but automobiles had just about taken over by the time I got to college. Now, when I was in grammar school, and part of high school, there used to be wagons come in from the country that would bring in old foodstuffs and so forth. And my father ran the ice plant, and they delivered ice in wagons pulled by horses up until, I don't know what year, but by the time I was in college, they were delivering ice in automobiles and trucks. Now, when the switchover took place, I don't know whether it was, you know, I don't know if it was 1930, 1932, 1928, or when, but we had an automobile from the time we had an automobile before I was ever born, but they didn't deliver ice in an automobile until somewhere along the line. But now the streets in town, Commerce had 4, 5, or 6 paved streets, and they paved the street on which I lived, which was also touched the college campus, about when I was in about the first or second grade. And there was a paved highway. Well, I can remember driving from Commerce to other towns around when there were no paved roads, when the roads were dirt. But by the time I was in the eighth grade, they were hard surfaced. But of course, the like what we have farmed market roads nowadays, which are hard surfaced, there were no, all of those roads were dirt.
How about the automobiles? Were they, what was their speed? You know, did you travel, 45, 50 miles an hour, or, as opposed to today, or were you quite a bit slower than that?
By the time, let's say, when I was in high school, which was about 1933, cars were going about 45 miles an hour, 45 to 50. And then when I bought my first car, I drove an average of 45 to 50 miles an hour. And then I got up to 60 miles an hour in the 40s and the 50s. But I can't ever remember going 25 miles an hour in a car. But cars didn't go nearly as fast when I graduated from college as they do today.
Was there a lot of farming in your area? Was it a real farming community, or was it industrial community?
In and around Commerce was mostly farming. There was more cotton than anything else. There was you could see a field of corn once in a while. But if you were in the country or driving around the country, you would always find an acre or two of garden where the people were raising their own peas, beans, tomatoes, and they did bring in those to town, and they would sell them in town, and you could always get fresh, homegrown, all kinds of vegetables and fruits, which you couldn't do now. If you were that in that community now, I don't know where you could find a tomato or a green bean, and most of the farming and most of the cotton. Most of the acreage was devoted to cotton, but you go there now and you will see some cotton, but you will see more fields of stock. Yeah.
Was there any industry at all in East Texas at that time?
I don't know. There really was not much industry. There was a railroad between Dallas and Commerce, and went on to Texarkana. And Commerce had a roundhouse where the train stopped, and they got some repair right there. But the railroad was taken out. Taken out of that community somewhere about 1940 or 50.
Out of Commerce?
Out of Commerce. And there is no railroad terminal there at the present time. And somewhere in the 50s, I don't know whether it's the 40s or the 50s, there were a few ready-to-wear manufacturers that came in from Dallas and set up shops in Commerce. And it was there for, I don't know, 4, 5, or 6 years. And then they took that away and moved it to some other thing. Whether it was because of the rent or what it was, I really never did find out because I wasn't living there at the time. But I did go into the factory and I saw it. And then the next time, 3 or 4 years later, when I went back to Commerce, I thought I'd go back again and see what they were doing. It was completely gone. But I still, I understand that McKinney, Texas, and other towns around that area still do have those ready-to-wear factories ready. A ready-to-wear manufacturer goes and puts in the sewing machine, and they will send out piecework.
Now, when you were, say, for instance, when you were still in high school, did they have...
They didn't have
anything. How about your stores downtown? Did they have much shopping, or did they have any good banks that...
I had three banks, and one of them closed during the 1929, during the Depression. And one of them closed, but it was able to open its doors up again 2 months or 3 months later. And the third banking house never closed its doors. The stores in town, there was a J.C. Penney from the time I can remember. I don't remember when the first one was put in there. It may have been there when we moved cars, as far as I know, because we always shopped at J.C. Penney's. And then there was another store that had all kinds of wearing apparel. But if you were going to buy a pair of shoes, you had to go to Dallas to get a pair of shoes that would fit. But simply because the shoe stock that the stores bought in Commerce, they evidently didn't stock very many sizes, and they didn't stock any narrow sizes. So if a person had any kind of foot difficulty, you had to go to Dallas to buy shoes. And then after years went on in high school and college, the ready-to-wear course changed quite a bit from the time, in 1907, or 7 or 1910 or 19, no, wait a minute, I was born in 1914. Get too far back. But in the stores in Commerce, when I was a very small child, they did have ready-to-wear clothes, but they didn't have anything like the ready-to-wear that they had, that you would find there today. But most women, like my mother, made all the clothes. They just bought the yard goods and cut it out and sewed it up. But by the time we got to high school and college, we did go to Dallas to shop for ready-made clothes.
Then going into another area, weather over there a thing that was normal? You know, did you have a normal trend through the year, or was it ever changing?
The weather in East Texas is much different from the weather in South Texas. Up there, we had four seasons: summer, winter, spring, and fall, and there was quite a difference in temperatures. But in that part of the state, we always had a cold spell that would pop in 2 or 3 hours' time. Now, down here in this part of Texas, we have cold spells, but I don't see the change in temperature from so high to so low so fast here as it took place up there.
Did you have any real severe weather that you can remember?
Well, we had we would have two or three freezes every winter, where the plumbing would freeze in the house, and then the first thing in the world, when it thawed out, you'd have to go and replace some pipes.
Did you have a hurricane season like they do down here, or did you ever have any tornadoes or hurricanes?
Well, there would be in the spring. There were usually tornadoes, but we didn't have hurricanes like we have on the coast at all. Now, I can't remember any hurricanes at all until I lived in this part of the state.
When you were say around 15 years old, Did you remember the telephone system, or what kind of communication system did you have when you were at that teenage years? You know, did you just depend on newspapers, or did you use telephones or any other thing?
The radio was invented when I was in the first or second grade, and when we would turn the radio on and hear Amos and Andy every night, and the whole neighborhood gathered around to hear Amos and Andy. Now, that was when I was somewhere around 7 or 8 years old. And before the radio, of course, there was telegraph. If you wanted to send a message to someone, you wired, because it was cheaper than talking on the telephone. At that one, I mean, I can't remember not having a telephone. So, I mean, I don't know when the telephone was invented and when it got started, but as far as I can remember, there was always a telephone. But where today, I would pick up the phone and call someone. At that time, we would send a wire if we wanted to send a message to someone in Houston, or if we were going to visit my grandmother in Houston, well, we'd wire them that we were going to come instead of telephones.
How about, did the telephone... Was it an instant type of call, or was there quite a bit of delay in a long distance call?
Well, I mean, I can't remember any delay. Of course, it was not a dial system. You had to pick up the receiver and tell the operator to who you wanted, and give them their. We just gave them the name and the address. We never gave him the other person's telephone number, because I can't remember knowing anyone, but he might have just told her name and the address, and the operator got them on the phone.
How about going to another subject still? In your area, how was the law enforcement, and did you have any outstanding, villains or outlaws?
As a very small child, and growing up through grammar school and high school, there was a constable, I think that's what he was called. And we called him Uncle Bill. And I can't remember any thefts in Commerce. Nobody locked the door. My father put the car in the garage, and he didn't even take the key out of it. Or they left it sitting on the driveway. And I can't remember any kind of thefts anywhere in the whole town. But, I mean, up until World War II. But when World War II was over, and the service boys came back, of course they came back to Towers and went to school in Towers. And since then, people have put blocks on their doors. And, I don't know whether it's bad or different or not. But when I was in, say, high school, I don't remember. I mean, I just remember the lawman that we called Uncle Bill. And he was always on the corner. And we used to drive the car through, going too fast. But he didn't have a car. He was sitting on the corner, so he couldn't very well stop us. And as far as I know, they didn't have any such thing as the driving ticket. And they didn't have any highway patrol. They had no... We had no driver's license. And I got my driver's license after I'd taught school 2 years. And I went down to it was, I think, the office of the Simpler Power and Light Company. is they filled out a blank to get our driver's license. And as far as law enforcement, we had law enforcement there, but then I wasn't really very well acquainted with them. I don't know. I mean, as far as I can remember, I can't remember any kind of necessity for hunting down some person.
How about the churches? What, you know, did the churches play an important role in the community, or was the church that week that it didn't have any kind of?
Well, I don't know just how important the role of the churches was. Of course, there was a Methodist church, a Christian church, a Presbyterian church, and there was a Catholic church that there were only three or four families in town that were Catholic, and so they had a Catholic priest that would come, I think, once a month. And there was no Jewish church at all, because I think there was one Jewish family in town, but I'm not sure that there was even one. And there were no Latin Americans in the town at all. And there was a Negro town. The Negro town was there were no Negroes that lived in the white part, and there was no white that lived in the Negro part, to amount to anything. And of course, when I moved to Galveston is all mixed up. Negroes and whites live all over the whole town. Of course, the Negroes lived mostly on the alleys, the apartments that were located on the alleys, but. Commerce, of course, had no, at that time, I don't know what you'd find in commerce now as far as where the Niggers live, whether they're scattered in the white or not, I have no idea.
Do you remember any real prejudice or anything like that, as for instance, divided Negros, restrooms and so forth?
The Niggers, well, when I was going to school, both in secondary school and in college, there were no Negroes in the training school or in the public high school commerce. The Negroes had a school in Negrotown, and there was no, and the Negroes did not attend the white school, and there were no whites that attended the Negro school. And as far as prejudice was concerned, I don't really know. I mean, I'm not going to say how the Negroes felt, but it never occurred to me that the Niggers went on one side and the whites went on the other. But when I was teaching in Galveston, which was between the years of 1952 and 1959, and that was when Eisenhower was president, and he's the one who inaugurated the Supreme Court to pass that, what is it, segregation. And at that time, I was going back to Commerce to go to school in the summer times to get my master's degree. And since I had grown up in Commerce, and I had always, well, I had gone back to Commerce from not every summer, but periodically from time to time. And so when I would be in school in the summer, I would take my clothes to be washed to the colored woman. And the woman that I took them to was the Negro that had worked for us all my grown-up life. Well, I didn't really take my clothes to her to be washed, but I went to her to find out who would do them for me. And the woman that did wash them had a child in school. And so that summer I think that decree or whatever it was that was passed by the Supreme Court was done in, say, March or April. And then when I was in school at Commerce that summer and took my clothes to be washed to this colored woman, I asked the little girl who was about, I'll say she was 8 years old, she was somewhere in the grades. I asked her if she would like to go to school with the white children, and she said she would not go to school with the white children.
How about as a teenager? When you yourself were a teenager, did any of your friends, ever, you know, let out that there was any kind of discrimination whatsoever in that section or in the town as a whole?
Well, that I never saw any. I never heard any. If any of the boys that were in my class, I never heard of them having a fight with a nigger. I never heard of them having any kind of a, even coming in contact with them. Now, I'm not going to say they didn't, because they might have, but if they did, they didn't talk about it at school. And most kids, you know, talk about whatever they do up to the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th grade. Most everybody knows what everybody else is doing. And there just wasn't any. I mean, as far as discrimination of student for student, but now that's going back to...
How about the restaurants in town? Would they serve blacks or
you never saw a nigger sitting down and eating in a restaurant. Now, whether or not if a nigger had come into the restaurant and ordered food, whether some other person would get up and throw their food at him, I don't really know what would have happened. But in that summer, the first summer that segregation thing was in existence, or maybe it was the second summer. I went back to East Texas again in the summertime to go to school. And one of my very closest, one of the girls that I grew up with, his father was the dean of East Texas State Teachers College. He was the dean of faculty. And when Mr. Whitley died, Dr. Ferguson was president for a year or 2 years. And he was, I don't know how old he was, but anyway, he had to retire. And when he did retire, he became mayor of Commerce for several years. So I was at the Ferguson's house one day, and I said, well, Mr. Ferguson, I said, since I had talked with the nigger woman and the little nigger girl, because I wanted to know how they felt about it, too. I mean, I didn't see, the high school students in Galveston, some of them just raised, they said that their fathers would not let them go to school if they had to attend class with Negroes. And I said, well, I asked them, what did they think the Negro would hurt if they were in class with them? I couldn't quite see such a peculiar attitude for going to school with the Negro. So that's why I asked some of the Negroes in Commerce how they felt. I mean, that's why I asked that particular Negro girl.
Did it ever bother you as far as, you know, when you were growing up that they had their one section and you had your one section?
I wasn't conscious of the fact that they were over there.
You know, but did you ever stop to think why are they broken up into that section?
Never entered my head. But what I was getting at is that Mr. Ferguson he was an educator, and he was the mayor of Commerce for several years. So I asked him, I said, Mr. Ferguson, I said, what do you think about the Negroes and the white people going to school here together in Commerce? And I said, have the Negroes been discriminated against as far as education is concerned? He said, yes, they have. He said, you should go and see their schools over there. He said, they do not have the necessary facilities for a good education. But I never saw the schools, and it never entered my head.
Well, now let's change the subject a little bit more, but can you remember any folklore that you could think of Commerce as far as legends about people that lived in Commerce in the earlier days or anything that came by?
No, I can't. Because Commerce really was, I suppose, fairly already established before we moved there. They already had electricity, they had grocery stores, dry goods stores. And fact is, I can't remember any stores being built there to Mountain Point.
Did you know anything about what South Texas was like when you were younger?
No, nothing. Nothing. I had no idea about South Texas.
Did you ever hear anything on the radio as far as what was down here in South Texas?
Well, if I did, I don't remember.
When was your first contact with Spanish-speaking people?
Well, my first contact with Spanish-speaking people started back way when I was very small, because there was one family that came back to Commerce in the wintertime. Now, where they went in the summertime, nobody knew, but they did come back to Commerce in the wintertime, and they had a cart, a wooden, some kind of a cart, about 2 feet wide, 4 feet long, and they had two great big cans of hot tamales. And we used to go, and they would park that the little hot tamale stand on the corner, roll it in, and if you wanted to go and buy hot tamales, you'd go and buy them. And then at the when spring would come, well, the family would leave, and they were not there in the summertime.
You see, the only one other thing that I was thinking of was, is there anything that you remember about the medical field, you know, medical practices at all?
Not much, except that Commerce had two doctors. And if I had teeth, I went to the dentist. If I had the mumps, a doctor came to the house and took some medicine down. But as far as the medical profession is concerned, Commerce, they did build a hospital there somewhere along the line. But it was a very small hospital. I'd say it had 6 rooms in it, 8 rooms.